Hello, this is Forensic Forecast. We're our last single-digit episode this week, number 9, and I know it's a milestone when we move on to number 10 in the coming weeks. It should be interesting. My name is Lee Whitfield, and
I'm Simon. And same surname.
Yeah, well, obviously, as we're brothers, you know. yeah, thanks for joining us again for another episode. Unfortunately, no special guest this week. It was very nice of Mark McKinnon to do that interview with us last time around, and hopefully a lot of people found it interesting. I know some people did from the responses we got. But, yeah, hopefully we'll get some more people on before too much longer. It's just been a bit busy lately at work and me doing my CCE and stuff in my spare time. So, yeah, fun and games. Hopefully we'll be able to pump more episodes out pretty shortly. Unfortunately, though, Simon's going to be leaving for a few weeks, aren't you, Simon?
I am. I'm going to be in America for a couple of weeks, start of November.
Assuming that your flights don't all get cancelled because the airline goes out of business.
Yeah, I have to hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Or that the companies hosting the event also don't go out of business.
I think the company hosting the event are large enough.
Or the US as a whole doesn't go out of business.
Well, I'll go over there and get things on the cheap.
Yes, well, we're not mocking America. We're all very worried about what's going to happen. So,
well, the thing is, we can't mock America without mocking our own economy, because they're quite well linked. So anything bad that happens to America causes bad things in the UK as well. So,
yes, well, the worrying thing, I mean, this is something I thought was quite interesting, is that with you going to the States and Mum and Dad going off on vacation later on in the year, I thought, oh, well, we'll get them to get some cheap things over there, you know, because it's basically it's $2 for every British pound. And I thought, well, with all this going on, then the American dollar will have fallen even lower than that. And to my astonishment, the British pound had fallen further than the American dollar. It's now like $1.83 for a pound instead of $2 for a pound. So, I don't know. Yeah, crazy, crazy stuff.
And I don't understand any of it anyway.
No. All we have to understand is that we'll all be eating at soup kitchens within the next few weeks. And then we're all sorted.
Mm. Nice and cheery start.
Yeah. All right, well, as has become standard recently, I have to offer an apology. Let's see, what can I apologise for? Oh, I know. We were going to do this episode earlier in the week, but my Mac decided that it was going to destroy the second power adapter that it's had in the space of 2 months. And so I had to went out and get another one. By the time I got back, having spoken to those alleged geniuses at the Apple store, it was too late to record an episode. So apologies for that. But hopefully we'll make it up to you today. So, what have we got to talk about today, Simon?
Well, we've got a couple of things. Probably the most interesting being the arresting of two computer forensic type people in the UK.
Yep.
That's certainly caused quite a stir amongst various different people online.
Yep. It certainly is an interesting story, this, because what's happened is it involves this guy called Jim Bates. Now, Jim Bates himself isn't the least controversial character you ever come across, is he, Simon?
He certainly isn't. He's already been in the news once within the past year.
What was that for?
Well, apparently his qualifications weren't quite what he made them out to be. And he claimed to have a degree in engineering when in actual fact he had no such degree.
Did he have any?
Seems like a pointless thing to lie about to me, because a degree in engineering doesn't really do anything for a computer forensic practitioner.
Well, no, I mean, I guess not. But an engineering degree will help you get into, like, the British Computer Society and stuff like that, though, won't it?
Yeah.
So, But, yeah, I mean, the fact is that he lied about his qualifications. This guy, his name is Jim Bates, and he was found to have perjured and has been barred from presenting expert testimony in the UK, hasn't he?
He has.
So, rather than being rather than being an expert witness now, he's now offered his services as a forensic consultant for other people. And
yeah, so he's I forget the company he's working for.
I think, oh, essentially, he works for himself, doesn't he? He's just, he's a consultant, and he just subcontracts out to other people. Now, the last couple of weeks, for a while, he's been subcontracting and consulting for a company called Cyber Forensics. And Cyber Forensics have been investigating some defendants for something called Operation Ore. And this is quite a substantial case, this. You want to just fill us in on what some of that background is to that case, Simon?
All right, well, it goes back a few years, really. And
1999.
Essentially, yeah. A larger website was taken down in 1999, where this couple were essentially running a site that hosted a whole lot of child pornography, indecent images of children, whatever you want to call it. And they were arrested, they were charged, they were convicted. And in amongst all of this, they got hold of the details of people who had subscribed to this site, several thousand names, credit card numbers, and things like that. And essentially passed around the police forces in the relevant countries. And I guess Operation Ore is the UK part of it, isn't it?
Yes. That was led by police forces in the Avon and Somerset Police, I think it was. And they've gone out and they've arrested a bunch of people and seized the computers and charged a bunch of people with having downloaded indecent pictures of children and so on and so forth. But apparently the investigation, when people have been defending, hasn't been as clear-cut as what people have made it out to be. It makes us quite an interesting development, this, especially for the conspiracy theorists.
Oh, they've been having a field day with this one.
Yeah. Well, just to start at the beginning, right? Jim Bates, like I said, he's been consulting for Cyber Forensics, and he and a guy called Chris McGee, who I think is the owner of Cyber Forensics, they've basically what happens is that they went to a police station. And they did some forensic work at this police station because, I mean, I don't know how it works in the States, but over here, a lot of police constabularies, they don't allow people to take evidence from site without specific permission. I mean, I know Lancashire is one of them because I've done some work for Lancashire before, where in order for me to do my defence case for it, I had to actually go get cleared to go into the Lancashire Regional Crime Unit and do my investigation there, and I had a day in which to do all the analysis for it. And there's a few places like that scattered around the country, and Avon and Somerset are obviously one of these. So Jim Bates, Chris McGee both go in and they take an image of this hard drive, and they've taken it off site and they've gone away. And then the police have come and raided their business, their homes, and they've arrested them. Now, anyone hearing this story or reading this story must be thinking, well, are these guys dim? Are they just? I mean, this is my first thought. Yeah, is that two people like this, they should know better than to take an image of a hard drive outside of a police station without having the proper consent. But as it turns out, I could be right. I mean, these guys may have been under the impression that they had the relevant authority or the relevant permission to take this stuff away.
Yeah, we don't have a particularly full idea of the story of this. And there's a lot of people jumping to the defence of these two people. And we're not exactly sure what they may or may not have done that was in accordance with what they should have done.
Yeah. There was something on the register that I found to be... I mean, there was two things, really. There was one that Bates said, if the police wanted their hard drive back, they had only to ask. Well, first of all, you think, well, hang on a minute. Why should they have to ask for their hard drive, which they'd seized back? Because assuming, you know, I don't know, the question just raises a question in my mind, that statement. And then they go on and they say, it's bizarrely reminiscent of some 60s crime comedy. We've run out of porn, where can we get some? I know, let's dress up as defence experts and raid the local police station. I mean, you'd have to think, wouldn't you, if somebody was hell-bent on going out and finding some of this stuff, the local police station is not the best idea, is it? I mean, you take a really thick person to attempt something like that. And they're obviously working for some defence people. And the conspiracy theorists, I mean, there's lots of websites about this operation, or you have only to type it into Google to see exactly how many people have got strong opinions on this. I don't know. It's just a bizarre set of circumstances. And I think you've got a possibility here of defence experts being completely ostracised, and maybe even the possibility of them being prosecuted or persecuted for them taking the side of the defence on these issues. I don't know.
Yeah, it's. I guess the difficulty with it all, operation or as a whole, and instances like this, we don't really have the full story, obviously, because these are ongoing things. But there are some strange things about it. You just wonder about certain procedures that people have put in place or whatever, or that they're following. And some things just seem very strange about it.
Yeah. Well, if you go on to... there's a forum at obu-investigators.com. And what this particular site, and what this forum says, is basically it's a collection of people who are formulating bringing defence issues to the prosecution and whatnot. And these guys, they're really... I mean, obviously, a lot of these things are going to be heavily biased one way or the other. Either, you know, if you're in the police, you're going to say, well, yeah, of course, these guys did something wrong. And if you're on the other side, you're, of course, going to say, oh, we're being victimised because we're defending alleged paedophiles. And so it's difficult to find the middle ground. That's one of the problems that we have with this particular story.
I don't think either of those arguments will be correct when you look at them.
No.
I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle of the two.
No, I know. But, yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying about this forum in particular. Is that there's loads of people on here saying that they've only been arrested because Jim Bates holds basically privileged information on his computer, which is key to the defence. Therefore, the police have seized all that, making the defence even more difficult to prove.
Yeah.
So it's demented. I mean, one of the major problems with this is that there's a company called Landslide. And Landslide, they do like a payment system for adult pay sites. And what happens is that all these systems were automated and stuff. People could go online, they could set up an account, saying, I want people to pay me with credit card to access this site. And so they've done that. And one thing that they've found, or that's been alleged even, is that when this database has been looked at, 54,348 occurrences of stolen credit card information was found in the Landslide database. So the people who owned these credit cards, who had this information stolen, they were arrested. They had all their property seized and everything else. And, you know, even... it's difficult, isn't it? Because a lot of these people are going to be sitting... You know, people could have lost families and all kinds of stuff because they've been arrested on child porn charges when they've not done anything wrong. And that can happen anywhere in the world. I'm not saying that's exclusive to this particular case. But
I think it's timing that comes into it, really.
Yeah.
It's one thing taking these people's computers away and saying, my words have gone. Going on about suspicions of downloading child pornography. It's another thing actually taking the time to look at that and see if that's actually true. If someone's computer taken away from them and they're under suspicion of this for, say, 2 years or something, then that's not really fair on the person, especially if they're found innocent at the end of the day.
No, well, absolutely not. And that's the problem, isn't it? Is that because this is one of these constabularies that do not outsource work, then there is a significant problem, isn't there? Because it means that there is, you know, they've gone and seized all these people's computers, and because there's a massive, massive backlog for a case like this, I mean, this has been going on for 10 years now, just about, you know, these people's lives could be ruined. I know that it's difficult, and the police have got to sort through a lot, but you would really think that there'd be a better way of sorting this out. I think that, I mean, my opinion, and, you know, I've said this before, my opinion probably means nothing, but I think that they've made a significant mistake in some areas of this investigation. But rather than having the investigation tainted, because it'll help, because, you know, the core elements of the investigation are they're trying to catch paedophiles, and they've done so much on it, and so much money has been put into it, so much hard work has been done into it, that it's like, you know, it's like trying to get this bone off a dog. You know, it's clenched down with both teeth, and regardless of whatever else goes on, they're just not going to let go. They just chomp down and say, right, well, we cannot afford now to backpedal on this, because if we backpedal on a couple of areas of this case, then the whole thing could collapse, and then we're back at square one, and a number of paedophiles will walk free. So it's better in the long run for us just to keep everybody as a suspect rather than investigating the people who we think are the most likely candidates to have been involved in this website from the beginning. I don't know. Take it for what it's worth.
What you said about credit cards, fraudulent details being used and things, that's something that's relatively simple to check on, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can get this list and you can say, okay, which of these credit cards have been cancelled, which have been reported stolen, that kind of thing. And you can go through and you can eliminate those ones. It just depends on exactly how you go about it, really.
Yeah. I mean, there's another part of this as well, there's, like, basically a countersuit as well going on as well. Because it showed that one of the people originally involved in the finding of the material and whatnot, who worked for the United States Postal Service, found that they'd lied under oath and regarding the investigation, and because of this, a bunch of people a bunch of people who have been wrongly accused or allegedly wrongly accused have decided they're going to... Well, this was a couple of years ago now, actually. Open a lawsuit against the detectives in Operation Or, because it says, well, you know, it's false arrests. You know, the landslide database doesn't say what this, what these people say it says, and so on and so forth. So it's really both sides have dug out the trenches, and they're in for the long haul here, I think. And even though this has been going on for 9 years, I don't see where the end is going to come from. But it's causing a massive, massive division, because, you know, if you talk to somebody who does prosecution work, and then somebody who talks to defence work, they've both got different opinions on this, and it's such a divide that we pick up the odd defence work here and there, don't we? Even though we mostly work for the prosecution.
Yeah.
But this could mean that we see the end of any defence work coming our way, because there's going to be a massive division between defence and prosecution experts because people have screwed up. It's just peculiar. It really is an odd situation.
Yeah. I think there's always people that are going to be rushing to the defence of either the accused or the police, and I don't know. I think there's elements of things that shouldn't happen on both sides, and it's really hard to see who's right, who's wrong.
It's I mean, obviously, we only get a limited amount of information about this, because this is still an ongoing investigation, and therefore, you know, only certain elements of it are going to be released to us. But when you look at, you know, people have been wrongly accused of stuff, and there's been 35 suicides as a result of this operation. 140 children have been removed out of their homes with their parents. And you have to wonder, you know, even if just half of them have been wrongly accused, you know, their families have been destroyed and broken up because of something, because of mistakes that people have made. And so, yeah, it's really not a good situation. And we're hoping that this thing with Jim Bates and Chris McGee gets sorted out soon. I cannot imagine, for the life of me, I mean, if somebody said you need to go to a police station and get an image of this hard drive, I mean, my first thought would be, all right, well, let's have something in writing saying we have permission to do this. Otherwise, we're going to have a serious problem. And I cannot imagine that two experienced forensic investigators would have actually walked into a police station, taken an image of a hard drive, and walked out of there without either having to tell somebody that what they've done, or without having proper permission. Surely they would have had the proper permission to start with. It's just bizarre. The whole thing's just weird, and it just gets weirder by the day. And I think that's what the real problem is that the only news that we do here is just strange. There's no actual real news from it, which begs the question, why are we talking about it in the first place? But, I don't know. We'll move on. But it's an interesting story. Keep your eye on it. I'll put some links up as well for people to have a look at. Right. What else have we got this week? We have, of course, we have Helix 2.0 has finally been released. And it's been over a year since the last release of this. They've made a couple of changes, I'm happy to say. It's now based on the Ubuntu, or however you choose to pronounce it,
Does anyone actually say Ubuntu? That just doesn't sound right to me.
No, well, we went to university with somebody who pronounced it Ubuntu, and they got funny looks. But,
potato, potato.
Yeah, well, yeah. But yeah, it's based on Ubuntu. Ubuntu. I don't even know how to say it, to be honest. Ubuntu. There. And it looks a lot neater, a lot better. Is it being based on Ubuntu as well? It's also going to be easier to put this onto an external an external USB device that you can just boot from, rather than booting from CD. Which, in events where you've got something like an EPC, it would be ideal for something like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, there's a whole host of these similar kind of notebooks around now. Loads and loads of computers coming out without disk drives on them, so useful for that.
It's not just the disk drives, though, is it? But if you think about the internal storage, especially of the EPCs, is that there's no removable disk. It's all soldered onto the motherboard, isn't it? So. Yep. I know there is a way to put older versions of Helix onto a USB device, but this will just make it a lot more simple. And it's got all of our old favourites in there. It's got all the Windows incident response tools and stuff, which we're all comfortable with. And, downloaded it, had a play with it, and I like it. I think it's a vast improvement, to be honest. And it might just be my imagination as well, but I also think it runs a bit faster because it's not all modular like the older versions were. So
is there I haven't had the opportunity to have a look at it, really, other than on a screen when you had it loaded up. But is there much new in it, or is it essentially the same stuff just presented in a different way?
Yeah, it's basically there's not a lot of new stuff in there. I mean, like you mentioned before we started recording, that it would have been interesting to see PTK on there or something like that, but it stayed true to the Autopsy crowd, and it's got that on there, and it's got the updated versions of all the software that's on there and stuff like that. But I mean, for the most part, it's still got the same core tools, but it's just a different Linux distribution, a better Linux distribution, and one that people are going to find a lot more usable, to be honest. I think it's well worth having a download of. We'll put a link up to that as well, for everyone to go download it. It's well worthwhile. Make sure that you read the terms terms and conditions of that download and stuff as well, though. Some people think that it's their right to take a Helix CD for company purposes and do what they want with it, and that's not entirely true. you've got to seek permission from the people at eFence in order to use it in a corporate environment or in a criminal investigation or something like that, I think. And you're not really supposed to use it without their permission, which not a lot of people know about. But if your defense counsel or your prosecution counsel, who are opposed to you, well, obviously there would be if they're opposition, if they get onto that fact, then you could effectively nullify all of your investigation. So, take care, read through, but once you've done that, feel free to download it and have a bit of a play. It's fantastic. Alright, we don't have a lot of news today. I mean, there was the big story, and then there was that, and then we've only got one more thing to talk about before Simon's going to provide us with a funny little anecdote. The iPhone. It's an interesting little device, this. And I don't know why, but all of a sudden, a piece of forensic news came to light when I think that almost the rest of the world already knew about it. What is this piece of news, Simon?
Well, someone has discovered that the iPhone will take a kind of screenshot of the last thing you had open in order to use it for one of its little minimizing animations. And they've thought, oh, look at this. Look at all the privacy issues with this. And, well, yeah, that's potentially true, but yeah, we've known about that since the first iPhone came out a year ago.
Yeah, well, I think it was... Well, yeah, I believe it was February. No, it wasn't. It wasn't February. I can't remember when it was. It might have been April. Jonathan Jarski, and I know I've destroyed his name there. I've completely massacred it. But he won't be listening to this anyway. He's got better things to do. I saw the webcast that he did on the original iPhone firmware quite a few months ago. I'm sure it was April. In which he said, look, basically, you've got this little animation effect on the iPhone. And what happens is that when you press the home button, a screenshot is taken of whatever you're doing on the iPhone at the time, and it's got like this animation effect where the screen kind of shrinks down and fades into nothing, and the front screen for the iPhone takes its place. And he says that what you can do is that you can recover these pictures, because it's written to various different spaces all over the disk, just into unallocated space once it's been used, once the thing's been used. But you can pick up pictures of people's emails, people's web browsing, anything they do on their iPhone, and, you know, iPod Touch also comes into this. You can just find hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these little screenshots all over the phone. And why it's taken 6 months for people to cotton onto this, I have absolutely no idea. Why is this news?
I don't know. Why are we talking about it? It's old news and we're rehashing it again.
Yeah, I know, but I just... I think people are getting a bit worried now because it brings up all kinds of privacy issues. But it doesn't really, does it? I mean...
Well, no.
The only way that anyone's going to be able to do anything like this... you know, to be able to see exactly, you know, what you've been doing, is that you'll have had to close down your browser, press the little home button when you're in the middle of doing something you didn't want somebody else to see in the first place. Then someone else would have to get hold of your phone. Then they would have to jailbreak it and perform a forensic analysis on it. And, you know, there's not very many people who'd be willing to do that who are out on the street. And I can almost guarantee that the average person who's going to say, oh, that guy's got an iPhone, let's nick it from him, they're not going to be doing that to see what he's been browsing for on the internet.
No,
obviously not. They're just going to flog it on to somebody else or see if it blends. I'm not implying that they steal the phones that they use by any means. So I'll distance myself from that, first off. But, yeah.
That is a useful... Well, not a useful website, but quite an interesting one to look at.
Yeah, willitblend.com.
Yeah.
Brilliant website. It makes you cry sometimes seeing what they are blending, though.
So insane. It's just funny.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, the iPhone, it is a bit problematic when trying to do a forensic analysis of it. But, you know, if you need to do it, or like I said with the iPod Touch, this is a good thing to know about. Will you be able to prove anything from it? I don't know. Taking anything out of unallocated space, you'd have a hard time saying, yes, this picture is here because this guy was browsing on this website at this particular time. How are you going to do it? You'd have to show a strong link, and I don't see a way of doing it. Not in British law, anyway. I can't imagine it's going to really be possible.
Mm.
Unless you can say without any doubt that the iPhone hasn't created this, or whatever by some other way. I don't know. It's madness. Madness that this that someone's actually dragged this story up from 6 months ago in order to do it now. And why we're talking about it, I don't know, so we'll move on.
I guess someone felt like a new security scare for people, and that was all they could find.
Oh no, people can read my iPhone credit card. My credit card number's off my iPhone. No, they can't. Not unless you...
Well, they could look over your shoulder as well. You've got to bear that in mind. It's a mobile device. You could be sat on a bus and someone could be behind you noting down everything you do.
Yeah.
It's not secure anyway.
No. Well, not just that, but you've also got your, you know, the whole GSM thing now as well, haven't you, that can be cracked. So, people theoretically could hijack the session that you're on, and they could just see all the stuff you're browsing for anyway. Which yep. is probably more likely than having someone take your phone off you and performing a forensic analysis on it. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to move on. It's going to be a bit shorter today than usual as well. So my, once again, I'll up another apology. Two for the price of one. Simon. Mm-hmm. Interesting story of the week.
All right. This one, I saw the title of it, and without even reading it, I decided this is the one I was going to use. The title is Man Charged with Farting at Policeman. And basically, a guy in America who was arrested for drink driving and driving without headlights on was then charged with those offences and with assault after he allegedly broke wind on a police officer.
What?
They were fingerprinting this guy and he moved near one of the officers, lifted his leg and passed gas loudly, so they said.
Is that really a chargeable offence?
I don't know, but apparently it is.
You've been accused of farting at a
police then alleged the guy's Jose Cruz, 34, he's listed in the article. He says Cruz then allegedly waved the air in the direction of Parsons, who was preparing to breath test machine. He was preparing a breath test machine. The gas was very odorous and created contact of an insulting or provoking nature with Patrolman Parsons, the complaint says.
What did he expect?
I don't know.
Maybe
you
roses.
Lift your leg, you break wind, and you wave it in their direction. They're not going to take that very well, are they, really?
No, I mean, what did the policeman expect it to smell like?
I don't know. Roses?
Exactly. Can't do anything these days without getting arrested for it.
I know. You don't even have to touch someone to be charged with assault of them, by the looks of it.
No.
I think that's quite funny.
I fart in your general direction. Right, mate, you're nicked. Dear, oh dear, that's...
It belongs on some kind of Monty Python thing, doesn't it, probably?
Yes.
Something like that.
Great stuff. All right. Well, thanks for that. I'll bear that in mind next time I'm out and about.
Yeah, if you get arrested for something, do not break wind on a police officer.
Oh, just
it will just make things worse.
Aggravated speeding. Dear, oh dear, that's crazy. That's absolutely demented.
Yeah.
All right. Just two items before we wrap up. Actually, say three items before we wrap up. First one is that Brandon has been very kind and created a widget. Now, this is for OS X. And I've been... this is going to make people smile. I've been playing with Brandon's widget. And,
oh, dear. Yeah, get on with it.
And what it does, essentially, is that when you load up the OS X dashboard, basically, it pops up a little forensic forecast widget. You select the episode that you want to listen to and press play. And it also gives you a little show description as well. So thanks to Brandon for doing that for us. And I'm going to put it up on the website as a download. Secondly, we've got a forum. And I've redone the forum because it broke. If you can access that by going to forecast.whitfields.org/forum, and we've got four members at the moment.
Yay.
And if you've been up and if you went and signed up for it when I originally put it up, please go sign up again because we lost all your information.
Yeah, because your first sign up wasn't good enough.
Well, it broke. It wouldn't let me do. Right, the first piece of software that I used. What happened is that I logged in, I set up everything, and I logged out, and I tried to log back in again. Oh, sorry, no, Brandon, first of all, tried to log into it. He said, my password doesn't work. And I'm like, oh, that's a bit odd. So I tried to log in and found that my password didn't work either. So yeah. Whoever it stores the password has screwed up somewhere along the line, so I had to change it and put on some different software instead. So now it's working. Please go
sign up and use it.
Yeah, please. It's like we keep saying, we only do this for basically a little bit of a hobby and stuff, but it would be nice to establish some kind of community where we can all help each other and answer each other's questions. I know there's similar stuff like Forensic Focus and Digital Detective, all that kind of stuff, but you know, this is specifically for listeners of Forensic Forecast. Now, it might only be that there are only four people that listen to the show. In which
and
case,
they just download it a lot of times.
In which case, that's fantastic. We've got 100%. but I have a sneaking suspicion.
Did you say we had a girl on there as well?
Yeah. I know. Well, I think she might take offence at being referred to as a girl.
Well, female.
There is a female on there, yeah. So we've got 25% female on the forum at the moment, and it's a...
That's probably a higher percentage than any other slightly geeky forum on the internet.
Probably any other tech-related podcast on the internet as well. But yeah, please come and sign on and sign up and use it. And if you've got any suggestions for anything on the website, just also let us know. We'd be more than glad to consider them and take them on board and implement them if people think it's a good idea. Okay, the last thing I wanted to just say is that Simon's going away for a couple of weeks at the beginning of November, and I know that people don't want to sit here and listen to me just talk by myself, even though that's what tends to happen throughout most of the podcast. So if there's anybody else out there who would like to come and be a guest, then...
Do I see Brandon with his arm in the air? Pick me!
Stop it. That's mean.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Can we edit that out?
No, I'm going to leave it in so everyone knows how mean you are. You evil person.
Sorry.
But yeah, anyone who wants to be a guest host with me for an episode or two, then let me know. Be glad to consider anyone and everyone. And if you're female, then you're more than likely to be considered because you'll actually have an opinion that matters. All right.
I don't know how useful I feel now.
Ah, dear. All right, I think we've gotten to the silly side of things now, and we should probably stop. Peace and love to you all, and keep an ear out for another episode in the future. I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.